Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey, Dog Pound, this is Greg Newsom here. Just touched down in Cleveland. Excited to be a part of the family. I'm going to give it my all every single day for you guys. I'm not going to let you guys down. Go Browns.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Zach Kopp, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
Hey, what's up, Browns fans? Welcome back to another episode of The Dogs. As you can see, we're not in the studio today. Had a tough time linking up with the schedules, and we just did 4 hours on Thursday night. Justin's AWOL, so it's just three of us here today. We want to thank everybody who tuned in Thursday night for the first round of the draft for our live show. The turnout was awesome in person at Hoodletown and right here on YouTube. You guys were with us, some of you guys, for all 4 or 5 hours of the show, so that was super awesome. We got some live reaction to our draft picks. The draft finished up yesterday. The Browns ended up going with 8 players. I did not think we were going to draft 8 players, so it's very interesting to see what the Browns got planned for these guys. Remember, before we get into this episode, check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Please subscribe on YouTube. Again, huge thank you to everybody who's already subscribed on YouTube to put us over that 1,000 subscriber mark. Also, you can head to Apple, Google, Spotify, and check us out there. Leave us a 5-star review if you don't mind. Our contest wrapped up for the Northwest group, so we should be getting out the winners to you sometime. We'll get it all figured out this week and get the prizes mailed out to you guys. So thank you to everybody who entered the contest, left us a 5-star review, shared our video, subscribed. Again, that helps us out a ton. I see that Zach in the background went and stole the Kareem Hunt jersey that we gave away this past week and hung it on his wall. So that was pretty rude of you. Browns, in my opinion, we won the draft. And so I know if you were watching live, our first pick was Greg Newsom out of Northwestern. And we just kind of, if you weren't live with us, we wanted to give you our immediate reaction. And then, kind of what we're thinking now that we've had a couple of days to digest.
You got it?
I have it, yeah.
Announce it, Justin. It only makes sense that you would be the guy.
So, with the 26th pick, the Browns take Greg Newsom.
Greg Newsom.
The one guy we didn't want.
I mean. Fits the need.
Man, I.
We'll see.
I guess we'll see, but.
Okay.
All this excitement, more Bateman, one of these edge rushers. How do you guys feel right now? I kind of feel like there's so much hype, and then
I got to switch back over to the chat here. I got to see what people are saying. Maybe they haven't heard yet. Oh, Greg Newsom, yep.
Yeah.
Well,
I know Barry's happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, what?
I mean, there's still
here's the thing.
Trade back up.
Pro Football Focus has this guy. He was the third ranked corner.
Yeah.
So,
but he was also projected third round.
Yes.
Yeah. That's. I just got it on Twitter. So that's what it's going to be.
That's the one.
Man, I'm not happy.
Oh.
not with everything that was on the board.
Snap Malloy loves it, but a lot of people in the chat.
Bum. Thanks, Davey.
DF says he's not mad about it. Fitz can play a lot of different positions.
It just felt like with guys like Samuel or that Elijah Molden, some of these guys later on.
The guy from Syracuse.
Syracuse, yeah, that we could have taken. Was that Andre Sisco?
I forget.
They had Kelvin Joseph from
I'm
Kentucky
taking that,
out there. Yeah,
I'm just taking the headset off. I'm going to get Cleveland's reaction here in the crowd.
Oh, they're just letting the fan make the pick here, but
we already know.
I don't know.
We're on the up and up.
I don't know.
This little girl just wrecked our draft by making this pick here.
Yeah.
John Nye says, I'm not sure, but Barry knows more than I do, though. True. You're an idiot. just playing. If for anybody who knows us,
see
John's
what
a close friend.
Says.
I don't just call everybody who listens to us idiots.
All right. Well, Happy draft night, everybody.
I guess, you know, we'll hang out here for one more second. We'll see. You know, the people here at Hoodletown haven't got to hear this yet, and the people in Cleveland haven't got to hear yet. So let's get their live reaction here.
Did somebody just say who?
Somebody just went, wait, what?
Yeah, so, I mean, the crowd doesn't seem too upset with it in Cleveland based on the TV coverage. But
yeah, but you can't see any of their faces, so I can't tell.
It's and not been the drinking for 5 hours. Yeah,
it's not the overwhelming pick that I think we wanted.
No.
It tells me that they don't have a ton of faith in Greedy also.
That, man, I mean, some of the guys you passed up on, Morg, Bateman, Barmore.
So here is what's going to get me okay with this pick. If we don't sit at 59, if we move back up, you know, even late first, which I'm not going to still be.
You know what's happening.
Any of the receiver talk off the table, though, for these guys, because Bateman will go to the Ravens, and if he doesn't, he's going to New Orleans or Green Bay. And so is Elijah Moore. So
yeah.
maybe they're eyeing up Rondale Moore later on, Terrace Marshall. I don't know. Maybe they're going to try to come back up for one of these edge rushers. But
yeah, Newsome, I wasn't a guy that I was.
We were not high on him, but
I didn't have him penciled in as somebody that I wanted that was like best available at the time of taking him.
Snap is saying the kid's a stud. We should be excited. I will say this. I got to go back and, you know, look into it more.
Well, and that's the thing. Now that, you know, because we've been trying to look at all these different prospects throughout this whole process, and he was just one that didn't fit the bill of somebody to get high hyped on for us. But now that he's been the pick, I'm definitely going to go back and watch a lot of tape.
Let's be happy.
We'll come back much more educated on Greg Newsome.
Yeah, and I'm going to say this, too, is more than any time in my entire life, I trust a Cleveland GM is Andrew Berry.
Yeah.
And know what Kevin Stefanski, you know, I'm sure he had some input on this.
Yep.
So all that being said, and like I said, I want to see how the rest of the second and third round shake out.
Yep.
If we still come away with one of these top edge rushers in the second, you know,
all
okay.
Right. And maybe some of our not being hyped up on Greg Newsom's our Pro Football Focus analysis that we got to read. I mean, they still got this guy sitting as a third round projection. Is where this guy was sitting at.
They all, you know what, though? At the same time, they had
played Jamin his own
Davis.
Heavy scheme.
Yeah, Jamin Davis, who was picked two hours ago.
He said he's got very patient zone eyes, not getting caught out of position, exceptional at playing deep to shallow, allowed one catch on 15 targets of 10-plus yards in 2020. Good length for the position, already plays catch point well, feet that can dance, no clunkiness to his game. But he's got very little closing juice. A lot of sitting high on top of routes. Saw very little legit wide receiver talent outside of the Ohio State game. And he's not a big corner, slight frame.
What's his measurables?
6'1", 190.
Okay. He's decent size.
Not bad. Yeah.
Typical corner size.
He's not 5'10", 180 like Samuel, so.
He ran a 4.38 40, though.
That's okay. Fast.
That's fast, especially for a big guy, so.
Well, there's the reactions. Live, you got to see them.
So I think, you know, we did a good job of kind of covering our bases there. So good job to us that, you know, we said we wanted to look into it more. And we also said we wanted to see how the rest of the draft played out before we graded that first pick. I will say this, now that I know how the rest of the draft went, I'm definitely way more happy with Greg Newsome. And once I got home that night, I think my immediate reaction to not being excited about him was I thought we were going to go something like Bateman or Morg was out there still, or even like Aziz Ojulari was still out there. And I was just kind of like, I didn't want to have any expectations for the draft, but as those guys were available, I was kind of getting excited to grab one of them. And then when we didn't pick them, it was kind of like that immediate letdown. But like I said, even by the time I got home and I just started thinking about it more, like, the dude can play. And, you know, PFF graded this pick as elite, which is a trend for the Browns draft, by the way. Spoiler alert. I mean, the guy, I'm pretty sure a stat that stuck out to me that I saw was he didn't allow a third down catch in 2020 or something like that. It's some crazy stat that, I mean, and he played before he got hurt against Ohio State. He played great. I mean, Justin Fields struggled against Northwestern, and he was a reason why.
Yeah, yeah, and you saw Justin Fields topple down the draft board a little bit too on Thursday night.
Yeah, I think with the Greg Newsome thing, you know, reading back through it, maybe I was a little harsh on draft night about not wanting him.
But it was real, baby. It was raw.
But, you know, some of the things that still that I'm, you know, kind of questionable on him, maybe it was something that I saw before the draft and then just didn't remember, is that he missed three games in three seasons straight at Northwestern, three games each year, which is a trend for Browns defensive players that we have to go through every year. That was kind of I think one of the biggest knocks on him coming into the draft.
He missed eight games in 2018 with an ankle injury, and it didn't say what injury the next two seasons, so I'm assuming it might have been reoccurring ankle, I'm guessing, because they didn't specify. So they said then he missed three in 2019 and three again here in 2020, and we saw him exit the Big Ten championship game with a growing injury. So injuries are part of the dude's resume.
Right, and Andrew Berry came out and said, you know, hey, he's a young guy. I think he's only 20 years old.
21 this month.
So, you know, he's a young guy. They said that the medical staff, they weren't worried about, you know, pre-existing injuries, that his body was only going to get stronger. He was only going to develop and become a stronger player. So, I mean, I guess we'll have to wait here and see if it pans out. I mean, it looks like we're getting another corner to go on the opposite side of Denzel Ward. That'll allow Joe Woods to play, you know, a little bit more man coverage. Browns might not have to play prevent defense the entire game all season long. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I hope that it works out. I hope it pans out. But, yeah, just on draft night with some of those other players available, I think that's why you got the reaction from us like you did, like Blake said.
I think especially because that first night was only round one and we did not know when the Browns, you know, if they were just going to sit at 59, we didn't know what was coming. So it's kind of like, man, you know, some of these guys that we kind of had our eye on, there's no way they're going to fall to us. Well, again, spoiler alert, they did, but you know, we didn't know that, you know, that night. So I think I like his 4.38 speed. He's fast. I like he's 6'1", 190. I mean, that's a decent size corner. And the fact they said, you know, he's not like super explosive or like playmaking. Well, I mean, if Delpit's healthy, we got Delpit. We got Troy Hill. You know, we got our second round pick that we're going to talk about. I mean, we got playmakers in the defense. At some point, you know, we need somebody. We just need guys who will cover people. So not everybody back there has to be, you know, an Ed Reed or a Troy Polamalu. Sometimes you just need some solid coverage guys. And we saw that last year. We had almost none. You know, MJ Stewart and Robert Jackson were just making Mike Glennon look like the second coming of Joe Montana.
Right. Yeah. No, I think that this pickup gives us – I expect Newsome to play a lot. You know, he's a first-round pick. I know that Andrew Berry came out and said, you know, we weren't really drafting for need now. We were drafting for the future. I think this pick kind of does a little bit of both. If he pans out, you know, he could be our next Denzel Ward type of corner that, you know, we always count on and rely on. And it just gives us that depth too. You know, like Blake said, we got Greedy, we got Troy Hill. With these schemes that, you know, we've kind of touched on the podcast in previous episodes, if Joe Woods wants to play a bunch of secondary defenders, you know, all game long, you know, we're going to have multiple defensive backs, safeties out on the field. And I think that you could look at this pick and our next pick that we'll get into to talk about as being the two guys we could see having an impact this year, and kind of everybody else that the Browns kind of were interested in and drafted in the later rounds, maybe in our later picks. Maybe.
I'm going to argue with that. I think we got four guys who I think are going to play this year.
Four guys.
Maybe not start, but I think four guys are going to make an impact.
Well, if you're talking special teams or something like that.
We'll see. I'll let you know here.
Blake, I think I'm with you on the four, and we'll see if we got the same four as we go through here, but yeah.
Yeah. So before we move into our second round draft pick, I do want to tell you guys, you know, it's getting nicer out. Today's 81 degrees. Happy Greek Easter to all my Greek listeners out there. The flowers are blooming. The grass is growing, and it's time to chop the weeds. Thanks to our sponsor, Manscaped, you can trim your holes safely and efficiently. I'm talking about ball trimmers. Manscaped, the global leader in men's below-the-waist grooming, have an exclusive offer for our audience. Use code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, to get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. Join the other 2 million men who trusted Manscaped. They're here to make sure you are trimmed and smelling nice. After all, it's time for some spring cleaning. You don't have to use our code just on the lawnmower or the perfect package. You can get the weed whacker. You can get boxers. You can get
the cologne, t-shirts, man. Those shirts are nice.
T-shirts. Yep, the t-shirts are super nice. The boxers are super comfortable. They got deodorant for your nether regions. They got Crop Reviver to help with that, you know, the itch. They got anything you could ever need to make yourself feel comfortable south of the border, Manscaped has. So go check them out. Use promo code DAWGS. That's get 20% off and free shipping with code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with code DAWGS at manscaped.com. It's spring cleaning, baby, and your balls will thank you.
Blake, I appreciate your dedication to the ad read because you even have the lawnmower sound effects in the background. It's wonderful. Yeah.
Well, like I said, hey, it's springtime. My neighbor's out there mowing. I thought about chasing him out of there, but I know.
Does his mower have the LED light on it?
I doubt it.
Yeah.
Actually, I looked out in the front yard, and he was trimming his nuts with his mower.
So you need to go.
I thought it was weird.
You need to tell him he's got to go get the lawnmower
3.0. Right.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of weird to do it that way, but you know, I guess we get weird here in Trent's Circle.
Hey, to each his own.
Yeah. So, we got to move into our second pick. This is, to be honest, the pick I'm the most excited about. You know, we took Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. Koramoah?
Owusu-Koramoah is how I'm thinking it.
Yeah.
They just call him J-O-K.
J-O-K. Yeah, J-O-K.
So, the fact that the Browns got this guy in the second round, we had to move up, what, 7 spots? We went from 59 to 52. And we were kind of texting in the second round, like, hey, there's still good players left. At what point are the Browns going to hop up and grab one of these guys? Yeah. Because I know they're falling, but I don't know if they're going to get all the way to 59 and right on cue. I mean, Andrew Berry's a freaking genius, guys. He looks that way. His first two drafts, I mean, I think I texted this to you guys. The Browns went from the laughingstock of the NFL to one of the smartest, most well-run organizations in 2 years.
What are those sound effects?
I think we got an angry dog in the background here.
I think so.
He doesn't like the JOK pick. No. I think the JOK, I mean, this guy had first round talent that we got in the second round. I don't think anybody really saw him dropping this far. I think there was a lot of worries about his size and what position you were going to be able to mold him into in the NFL. And I think that he's got the best fit for him is coming to Cleveland and Joe Woods' defensive scheme. I think that he's going to flourish into this player that you're going to see, you know, up by the line of scrimmage, but also being able to cover in the slot. And I read an article today that said Andrew Berry and Dee Podesta were thinking about taking him in the first round with our 26th pick. They didn't think that he would get anywhere close to 59. And then in the article, you know, it said, hey, that we got to like 42, 43, 44, and he was still there. And we're like, hey, we got to try to make this happen. So I'm glad that they did. I mean, I think he was the steal of the draft.
I will say our live chat the whole night on Thursday, I mean, I can't tell you how many people were in there saying, J-O-K, J-O-K, go get him, or, you know, at 26, get him. And then, you know, we didn't. And, it was just crazy on Friday night sitting there like, are we going to get him?
I want to say some of that was our letdown of why we took Newsom, because this dude was on the board and we didn't take him. I think people would have great. This was also another elite draft pick, according to PFF, by Andrew Berry. I think it would have been considered elite even if we traded up in the first round to grab him. If we didn't stay at 26 and we moved up to 20th to grab this guy, I think we still would have got a good grade. And the fact that we got him at 52 is, I mean, he fits this defensive system. It's like he was molded and made to play in this defensive system.
Yeah.
The dude excelled. I mean, we could play him at strong safety. We can play him at linebacker. He played like slot corner at times for Notre Dame, and he shut people down. He's the perfect kind of hybrid linebacker you need for today's NFL. You know, when we're going to be going up against these spread offenses, you need a, you know, kind of the days like the 275-pound middle linebacker. Like, you know, Ray Lewis was great and all, but would he be as successful in today's NFL with these guys running, you know, there's 4-4-3 receivers out there and they're never running the ball? I mean, you don't need that run-stopping linebacker per se. I mean, you still got to be able to stop the run, but you need somebody who can go sideline to sideline, who can cover, who can tackle in space. I mean, and that's what this guy is.
Yeah, it's going to be different seeing him play for the Browns this season, because it's not, like you said, it's not your traditional linebacker. So he's going to be doing all kinds of different things that we're probably not used to seeing, because, like, even, I mean, that was the first thing PFF said about him, is he's the new breed of defensive player in the NFL. So get your seatbelts on and hands and feet inside the vehicle, everybody, because this is going to be a fun ride.
If you haven't had a chance to watch this guy's tape, go watch some of the hits. I mean, this dude lays the wood. And think of, a bigger, faster, stronger, better all-around Jabril Peppers. You know, Jabril Peppers was that safety, but, you know, he kind of was like a hybrid player that didn't, you know, have a set position. This dude, he's bigger, stronger, faster, but playmaking ability all over the field.
I saw, I think it was NFL Draft Profile had him comped similar to like a Jamal Adams. Maybe a little bit bigger, yeah. Jamal Adams. So I'll take that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I saw, I was watching, you know, second round of the draft at home, and some of his linebacker comps, they said, were Darius Leonard and Levante David. Those guys don't suck.
No. Yeah. I saw those too. those are the kind of players that we talked about, you know, before the draft, that, you know, whenever we were signing free agents, like, these are the type of players we need on our defense to be able to compete with these, you know, Super Bowl contending teams.
So, yeah, what we did to the defense in free agency, and then just in our first two picks alone, I mean, I think we're staring at a top five defense, top 10 defense, if everybody's healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, just looking back at the fact that we were able to get JOK in the second round at 52, it almost reinforces that pick in the first round of Newsome at the cornerback, because, you know, we saw J.C. Horn go off first to the Panthers, and then we saw Surtain go off to the Broncos. And it was like, wow, okay, those were the top two guys, and they're gone early. They were gone in the top 10. And then, you know, no other corners, I don't think anyway, were taken. Oh, I'm sorry, Caleb Farley went at 22. But then we're sitting there, and we grab Greg Newsome, who apparently Andrew Berry had pegged as, you know, one of his guys. And then right after that, at pick 29, the Packers take Eric Stokes out of Georgia, and I don't think he was graded in the first round. So the run on cornerbacks almost forced our hand at that, because we knew that if we missed out on Newsome in that first round, we weren't getting anybody in the second round worth taking there. And to see that JOK falls to us in the second round just solidifies, like, that first round pick was a good pick.
Yes. Like I said, you know, we said at draft night, we wanted to see how who else do we get, you know, to see, to justify this pick at this time. And, you know, you had to get, like you said, I think the first pick of the second round was the corner from Georgia, Campbell. Is that his name?
Oh, Tyson Campbell.
I think he went like top two or three in the second round.
Let me pull up the second round
off the board.
I'll pull up.
Yeah, he was number one.
Yep.
In the second to Jackson.
Yes. So, like you said, corners, you know, and we kind of noticed that when we were doing our live drafts, that there were some really good corners, but, you know, there once you started getting out of that first or early second, the value you were going to get from him started to drop swiftly.
Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys.
So you kind of had to take your corner early.
Yeah, the Cowboys went and grabbed Kelvin Joseph, corner out of Kentucky, at pick 44 in the second round. So I think that it was, we needed, if we wanted a top end or, you know, a top end potential at the cornerback position out of this draft, we had to go Newsome in the first round.
Yes.
Agreed.
Yep.
So we'll kind of move into our third round pick. This guy was a little bit of a surprise. And to be honest, when we took him, I was like, I'm not sure who I know who this guy is. And then I started reading about him and watching some stuff, and sneakily, one of the most excited players I'm excited to watch play for the Browns this season was wide receiver Anthony Schwartz out of Auburn. The dude ran a 4.25 40. It's like we have our own Tyreek Hill.
We do. And I mean, the first thing that every profile on him says is this kind of speed doesn't come into the NFL every year. I mean, his speed is elite.
Olympian.
Yeah, Olympian. That's exactly how they labeled it.
Yeah, so pretty much this guy was used as just a burner at Auburn. It was kind of just the role he played of, hey, you're pretty much faster than anybody else on the field, so just run by them and we're going to try to throw it under so you can get underneath it. It's kind of the role he played. And, you know, the Browns are that was one of the things we said, you know, we've been missing that for a long time, of just having a guy like this that can really stretch the field and allow – you know, some of our other wide receivers maybe to have a little bit less double team or, you know, a safety plan over the top of them on every single route they run, that this is what this guy can give you. And it was kind of interesting on the draft day when we took him and they were talking about him a little bit. He said Randy Moss actually worked with him in a few workouts, and Randy Moss actually had to tell him that he had to slow down when he was running routes, that he was running routes too fast, and that's why, like, it wasn't as crisp. So it sounds like his route running needs a little bit of work when he gets to Cleveland and goes through training camp. So, I mean, this guy, like you guys said, speed kills, and, you know, if he can just be an average route runner – with that speed, that makes you above average as a wide receiver, that this could really turn into something. But I think that he's a guy that just needs work. I think this is kind of things I've read about is like a boom or a bust type of a thing. Like, he's either going to be really talented in the NFL or he's going to be a gadget type player in the NFL.
I think it all depends on how much work he puts in, because when Tyreek Hill first came into the league, he was known as just a fast guy. You know, and now he's known as a very good receiver. So if this guy's willing to put in the work to work on the route running and that kind of stuff, but I think he has an immediate impact on the Browns this season. Bubble screens, jet sweeps. You can't double team Odell if this dude's on the field running streaks, because, I mean, you don't have to be a great route runner to just run a straight line really fast and catch a wide open pass. So I think he opens stuff up. You know, is he on the, does he start at receiver, and do we see this guy playing, you know, 50 offensive snaps a game? No, but is he in there for 10, and do we get him the ball 4 or 5 times a game as a receiver on bubble screens and stuff like that? I think that's a possibility. Does this guy force JoJo Natson out? I know we just re-signed him, but does this dude start returning kicks and punts? I mean, 4.25 speed. You want to find a way to get this guy the ball.
I kind of real quick, one thing before Josh, I let you go, just like that boom or bust, the bust scenario that they said that this guy could be is like a Tavon Austin. Tavon Austin came in the NFL and was supposed to be like this phenomenal speedster. Didn't really pan out. Tyreek Hill would be kind of the boom. If he's anything close to Tyreek Hill, this guy's going to get paid a lot of money in his future.
Yep. I know there was you know, in our group chat and everything, we were talking that night or the next day, whatever. And I think there's a little disappointment in this pick, especially I know I was looking at the board and saying, well, what receivers are still there? I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown from USC was still there. Jalen Darden out of North Texas was still there. There were still some semi-interesting big names, you could say, on the board, and we take Anthony Schwartz. But the more, like you guys said, I started reading about him and seeing what his strengths are and fitting that in with our current wide receiving core, you know, some of the arguments I used, you know, talking about trading for N'Keal Harry can kind of be applied to Anthony Schwartz in that he has no pressure whatsoever to be, you know, a top option in the offense. You know, you can, like you're saying, but you can almost take him and line him up on the same side as Odell. And now what are you going to do? You're going to send two guys over there to cover Odell and somebody to try to, and you know, all those, all six, if you got three guys over there, six eyes are on Odell. And now Schwartz has passed you. All it takes is a split second and he's by you. And once he's by you, he's gone. I've been watching some tape. When he's even, man, is he gone.
Yeah, if he ran a 100 in like 10 seconds or something like that. The dude is, it's literally, if he wasn't playing football, would be probably an Olympian sprinter.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know Andrew Berry came out and said he was drafting for the future, but to me, this feels like a pick that was more directed towards this year, next year. Like, we needed speed on offense. We saw it in that Chiefs game in the playoffs this year. We needed somebody who can just come in and take the lid off the defense to free up Jarvis, to free up Odell, and to even free up Hooper over the middle. So,
yeah, I saw some.
At first, it was like, who?
Yeah, I know. I would say I saw some comps. They said that he could potentially evolve into like a Will Fuller type of receiver. And I was thinking, well, Will Fuller, that's all he was. Like, even the first probably 3 years of his career was he was a fast guy. He could get down the field, get open, and Watson would just hit him for a bomb touchdown. And then he started working on his route running, and he kind of evolved into more of like a well-rounded receiver rather than just a fast guy.
Taking steroids.
Yeah. Hey, it's a process. But yeah. You know, I think having this guy injecting this amount of speed into this offense, I mean, like you've been saying it this whole offseason, like that's what hurt us against the Chiefs. There was no speed on that field. So
yeah,
this will help.
So that moves us into our first fourth round pick. So we got two more picks I think we need to focus on like heavily. James Hudson, offensive tackle out of Cincinnati. This dude's a mauler.
Former defensive lineman.
Yeah. So defensive guys are nasty. They got good hands, you know, things you want to tackle. And one thing I kind of like that he used to play defensive line is he kind of knows, you know, the moves. You know, what a defensive lineman's thinking, what he's doing. You know, he's seen it all because he used to be on that side of the ball. And we talked about this, you know, I think in almost every mock draft we had us taking Hainsey out of Notre Dame just because we knew we needed a versatile swing tackle at some point in this draft. So, I mean, it's almost like Andrew Berry just watched all of our mocks and was like, yep, those are the positions we need. We'll just try to get guys that the Dogs are talking about.
That's right.
So, you know, this is – to me, another solid pick. The dude is, you know, he's a mean guy playing offensive line. And does he make an impact this year? I hope not. I hope all five of our linemen are perfectly healthy all year round. But if he's not, I think this is a guy who can step in, especially I have no fear of linemen stepping up and playing well for the Browns with Callahan as our line coach.
No, not at all. And I mean, the dude's 6'5", 313. He's just 21, he's going to turn 22 this month. So it makes me feel good as far as a depth piece, knowing that if one of our tackles would, you know, tweak something in a game and have to come out for a quarter or whatever, you know, we've seen that happen all the time. This guy can step in, and under Callahan, I think he'll be able to hold his own. I really do.
Yeah, I think that, you know, this pick of us taking the tackle, I think that, like Blake said, I hope that this guy doesn't have to make a big impact this year, that our line stays intact and we're injury free. But I think us taking a tackle, I think this guy's got a good shot at making our team and making our roster, because now if we would have drafted a guard, maybe they don't have as great of a chance. You know, we got Drew Forbes back this year, Michael Dunn, Blake Hance, and Kobe Gossett, you know, that we all have at the guard position. And obviously you're not going to keep, I think most teams take what, maybe eight guys on a Sunday on their starting roster, on their listed roster for that active. You're not going to take 10 to 11 guys. So I think this guy's got a chance, because I think we only have one other tackle that was an unsigned free agent on the roster this year competing for the backup tackle spot.
So we got one more guy. So far, the you know, Zach, you said How many did you say were going to make the team? Our first two?
I said our first two would have impacts this year that I thought would have impacts this year.
I think four of our first five have impacts this year, and that goes into our next guy, Tommy Tagai out of Ohio State. I think
you're just a homer.
No, the position I think with the least amount of depth on this Browns team is defensive line. And I think this was a steal for the Browns. People were projecting this guy as a day two guy, and to get him on day three, he's the fifth ranked defensive interior lineman on PFF, and we got him in the fourth round. Nobody thought this guy was still going to be there. He probably would have been ranked higher if we would have got to see him play more, but he just didn't play a ton because, you know, Ohio State's loaded.
Yeah, I was going to say, Blake, this one should have been – this one was big for you because I know first thing yesterday morning you texted and said it was either, what, Jamar Johnson or Tommy Tagai, like, let's get him right out the chute here. And then we went and we picked James Hudson, then we traded that next pick, and yet we still get him. Like, it just continues that Barry genius.
Yeah, so – by the way, for anybody keeping track, it was elite with Newsom, elite with JOK, above average. The only reason the Schwartz pick didn't get an elite and he only got an above average is they said we probably could have waited on him and got him later. But if you're the Browns and you're not filling holes, why take the chance of your guy not being there? Just go get him if he's there.
Yep.
Because if Schwartz sucks, it doesn't matter to us, you know, but we wanted to make sure he's on the team. Hudson and then Tagai, elite again. And to me, this guy, I see this guy getting time this year because, first of all, D linemen get hurt. We don't have a ton of them, especially if Sheldon Richardson doesn't re-sign. You got Malik Jackson, Billings, Jordan Elliott, and Tagai. That's like your four interior linemen.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, he's not the biggest guy. You know, he's what, 6'1", 6'2", 296. So it's not like he's this 6'5", 320-pound mauler, but he's not. But I mean, I think he's definitely going to fit into that rotation of that interior defensive line. And we talked about that when we did our mock drafts, that it was something the Browns are going to need to address in the draft, but they don't need to probably go – you know, top tier pick with it because it's more of a rotational unit in there.
Yeah, I think that this pick, it definitely filled a spot that the Browns needed. I think we all talked, I mean, we talked about taking Barmore in the first round at times.
Oh, Blake.
It must be close to the house now, Blake.
Oh, is it getting loud again?
Yeah, can you mute yours real quick? There we go. Oh, look at that. Peace and quiet.
Right.
I'll stay muted unless I want to talk.
Fair enough.
So, you know, Tagai, I think that, you know, this season was probably showing to be his best season as a Buckeye. And, you know, he was kind of taking that next step of, you know, really finding, you know, fine-tooling his game. And then the shorter season probably hurt his draft stock a little bit. You know, if he'd had the more reps, like Blake said, Ohio State's a very good team. You know, you're not, sometimes you could be a starter, you know, a star on another team, but for Ohio State, you're a rotational piece, you know, so you got to make your time count when you're out there on the field. And I feel like if he would have had a full season, you know, played another four or five games throughout the year, his draft stock probably would have went up higher and you probably wouldn't be sitting where we got him in the draft.
Yep. It just feels like every pick we made, except for maybe the Anthony Schwartz pick, but like Blake said, if that's your guy and you're like, hey, we're going after that top end speed, then you just take him when you have the opportunity. But I feel like all these other picks, they just waited and they got him at a value. They didn't overreach for anybody.
I think we talked about how the Browns were going to have to move around in the draft to get the guys they wanted and that we weren't going to take nine guys because we didn't need them and all that kind of stuff. And then turns out, I mean, we didn't take nine, we took eight, but they didn't have to move around that much to really, what, two small trades? Moved up a couple spots like in two rounds. Didn't give up really anything big. Would we give up a third round pick to move up and get JOK? Like, it's just Andrew Berry is he's he's playing chess when everybody else is playing checkers.
Pretty much.
The fact that these guys were falling to him.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Tommy Tagai pick, you know, that was a trade back. And I believe they picked up a fourth-round pick next year. I'll look all that up and make sure I have those trades correct for the next episode. But I think that's what happened. So,
well, so that moves us kind of in then to the guys. No disrespect to these guys who we drafted, but I think the remaining three guys that we took in this draft are going to have a very tough time making this roster. And I don't think it's not necessarily because they're bad players or will be labeled busts. The Browns are going to cut good players this year. And it's just, I think come roster cutdowns, we're going to be going, I can't believe the Browns cut this guy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just because you can only have 53 on the roster. So, you know, in round five, we took Tony Fields, linebacker out of West Virginia. Another round five pick was Richard LeCount out of Georgia, safety. And then in round six, we took running back Demetric Felton out of UCLA, which didn't we take him in one of our mocks or we talked about taking him? Or
I know we didn't take him. We might have talked about it. But the thing with Demetric Felton that was intriguing to me is obviously I'm reading stuff about this guy and all that. There's a very good chance they were saying that whatever team drafts him in the draft would probably utilize him a lot at receiver because he did a lot of receiving in college. He's a smaller back. He's 5'9", 190. He could be a sneaky, you know, slot receiver type guy that we might be. I don't know. I don't know if it's like a Jarvis in the future type of maybe we can plug him in and get some production out of him down the road.
Yeah, you know, the Tony Fields guy that we drafted, he's kind of like the same type. He was used as kind of that hybrid player like Owusu, JOK, except for he's not as athletic and he's not as fast. So it's pretty much like your poor man's JOK that we drafted in that pick. This guy, you know, he's going to try to fight for a spot. Do I see us probably holding on to him? Probably not with, you know, some of the depth down that we have at that position. And then you got Richard LeCount out of Georgia, combo safety. The big thing that I liked about him in his last 20 games in his last two seasons at Georgia, he had 7 interceptions. I mean, so the guy's got a knack of getting his hands on the ball. And, you know, they kind of compared him to, and, you know, when I was reading up on him trying to learn more, they kind of compared him to Sheldrick Redwine, and it wasn't a good reason why they compared him to Redwine. They said that he was really bad in the run defense and a terrible tackler. So unless he can figure those two things out, they said Redwine was the same way coming out of college, except for he had speed. You know, he was like a speedster on the back end of the defense, where this guy just doesn't have that factor in his game. But the fact that he intercepted had seven interceptions in his last two seasons, you know, maybe he finds a way to make the team and make an impact.
I think he'd be to all me, right as far as that rotation in the safety position. But
the problem is there's only 53 guys on your roster, and we have John Johnson III. We have Ronnie Harrison. We have Grant Delpit. We have JOK is kind of a hybrid safety position, hybrid safety linebacker. You're not going to keep – we have Sheldrick Redwine. You're not keeping 6-7 safeties on your roster. You don't have enough room, you know. So, especially if, like, Redwine plays well. I think the guys on your roster, your Mac Wilsons, your Taki Takis, your Redwines, they're going to have a leg up on these rookies if they come out and they play well in camp. They already – you know, they know the system. They've been here before. You know, so all these guys we took later, the guy out of West Virginia, I mean – linebacker went from a position where we didn't have any players to, you know, all of a sudden we have a lot of linebackers on this roster. And so this rookie might not make it. I mean, Mac Wilson might not make it. So,
yeah,
it's the Browns. Every position is going to be competing.
Crazy and Mac Wilson, you know, we're talking like that. It was around a year ago at this time where we're like, man, if once we get Mac Wilson back, you know, our linebackers are going to be all right.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. You know, there's so much depth now at every position except for maybe that D line. And, you know, people are going to have to compete for spots. Nothing's going to be given to you on this team anymore because we're just too deep and too loaded. And the days of, you know, coming to Cleveland for an easy roster spot or an easy paycheck, those are long gone. And you're going to have to be on your A game. And it sounds terrible too, but guys who miss tons of games for injuries, I'm sure that's going to be factored into decisions on who we keep and who we don't keep. And it's tough, but I see the Browns cutting some very good players that we just can't believe that we're cutting.
Yeah, and we've been saying that for a while too, and I think it still holds true, especially after what we saw them do in the draft. I know, Zach, you mentioned about them knocking LeCount for his poor tackling, and I was reading some stuff on Tony Fields, the linebacker from West Virginia, and kind of said the same thing. I mean, they said he had 375 total career tackles. He played, I think, four total seasons in college. Three at Arizona, and then he transferred to West Virginia. But they said he does have a tendency to miss tackles. And whenever that's one of the key, like, cons in your draft profile, then you know you were really not that great at tackling. So
Right. Just
kind of sucks because we saw what missed tackles, you know, did to this defense last year.
Yeah. I don't think – I'm going to be cautiously optimistic. Just before we get out of here, I do want to say, like, me and the Browns are good.
Yeah.
And we got an A-plus grade from this draft from PFF, and I'm pretty sure from just about everybody, we were – if they're not calling us the winners of the draft, like, outright, we're in the discussion for who won the draft. And that's insane to say because we picked 26th.
Right.
You know, we didn't have, you know, Jacksonville Jaguars had four picks in the first 40 or something like that. You know, that wasn't us this year. We had one pick in round one pick in round two.
Yeah.
And we're coming away saying, look how we just killed this draft. And, you know, Dan Orlovsky came out and said the Browns are now in the best position to challenge the Chiefs or the Bills from the AFC to, you know, to go to the Super Bowl. And it's hard to wrap your head around if you're a Browns fan, like the rebuild's done. You know, we're here. It's time to go win a Super Bowl. And people are like, don't get ahead of yourself. The Browns have sucked for 20 years. I don't care about the past. Just like I don't care about the Steelers' six rings. I don't care that the Browns have sucked for 20 years because this roster is completely stacked. And you saw it start last year with the hire of Stefanski and the hire of Andrew Berry, us starting to trend in the right direction. And then perfect offseason and free agency and now the draft. Like, I think we're gearing up for what's going to be a very special season for the Browns, which in turn means a very special season for the Dogs podcast.
Amen, brother. It was interesting. Our Ravens friend, who's a huge fan of the Dogs podcast, by the way, he commented and said that, you know, Ravens won the draft because they got Bateman and Jason Owa in the first round. And I'm like, yeah, okay, you got some good players, but you're not going to be able to use them. So you got a guy who didn't have a single sack last year coming at the best offensive line in the league, and then you've got a really good wide receiver talent that just – it's a shame he's going to be wasted over there in Baltimore, but that's just what happens. And then the Browns turn around, and they get a very good cornerback who can easily cover, you know, those air-mailed throws from Lamar. And then we go and we turn around and we get Jock who, hey, Lamar, run. We got a spy.
Yeah. First of all, yeah, the guy's a huge Dogs podcast.
Huge.
Fan,
so huge.
We appreciate him listening. And then I like that I got a place that I can live rent free in his head.
Uh-huh.
So I was talking to a guy last night and he said, you know, Lamar's really great at, you know, hitting wide open receivers because there aren't going to be wide open receivers anymore when you play the Browns.
Exactly.
You know, the days of MJ Stewart and Robert Jackson running around out there like a chicken, those days are gone. You're going to have to fit into tight windows against the Browns, so good luck. And, you know, Bateman's great, but again, Hollywood Brown was supposed to be great.
Yes,
you know, first round pick. Yep. He hasn't thrived with Lamar. In 08, imagine how bad the Browns would have got butchered by Ravens fans if we drafted a defensive edge rusher in the first round who had zero sacks. We never would have heard the end of it. They would have been on us like white on rice the whole time because the guy that we were putting faith into had zero sacks. So, yes, congratulations, Baltimore. You got a super highly productive edge rusher. with all of his zero sacks last year.
Yeah.
We're super nervous about that.
Well, and it's so interesting that, you know, we spent so much time evaluating edge rushers in this draft class and talking about which one the Browns going to take, you know, and all this stuff. We're going to give him the first round, second round. There's a guy maybe we get in the third round. We didn't take a single pass rusher or edge rusher. And that, I think that, I think that shows that they built that edge rushing depth with Tack McKinley, Jadeveon Clowney. They've got, help me guys, what's the Rashad or not Rashad, Curtis Weaver. So they've got guys that they feel confident in there with Miles to handle that. And they went pass defense in this draft.
I think you saw the strategy was, you know, if we can cover for a little bit longer, these guys can get home. And to be honest, if you can cover just a little bit longer, like we say it all the time that somebody else besides Myles Garrett needs to get pressure. But if you can cover these guys, Myles Garrett's going to get home almost every time, at least disrupt them sometime. I mean, he's that explosive. Before he got COVID last year, he was going to be defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I just look for that to continue. And I love that the Browns, I feel confident enough in the Browns that I'm going to talk, excuse my French, so much this year to these guys, because I love being able to give it back to them now, because I'm that confident. I think the Browns are winning the AFC North. I think we're going to the Super Bowl, and I'm just going to say it every week until we get there.
Super Bowl or bust, guys. Let's do it. This is the year.
Yeah, I think Josh captioned it well when he said that the Browns had a Mahomes prevent defense type of draft that they went for. We saw how that went. We had to, you know, we saw what Tampa Bay used to stop Mahomes in the Super Bowl, and we went out to try to fill and find those pieces to help our own defense.
Yeah. Yep. Because that guy's not easy to beat. Even in the Super Bowl, that dude made some crazy throws. That dude, he was not going down without a fight. And I think the Browns have done, you know, we'll get into it in more episodes, but if Baker Mayfield, you know, plays like he did the second half of last season all year, sky's the limit for this team. Yep.
It's going to be a fun year.
Well, that was our, you know, kind of quick immediate reaction to our draft picks. We're going to get, you know, Justin's input next week. We're going to dive a little bit deeper into all these guys this week, so we have a little bit more information. I don't know. Are we going to get Brian or Barry on at all, maybe to talk to them and see what they think?
Yeah, we'll probably put something together.
So, you know, get some of these guys' takes on what the Browns did. But we did want to put something out for you guys right away, keep you guys entertained for the week. Again, thanks to everybody who checked us out Thursday night when we were live for the first round of the draft. It went better than I ever thought it would. I went back and watched a lot of it, and I thought it was super fun, awesome.
That was a marathon. You know, you watch these guys do this analysis on ESPN and whatever, and you're like, wow, they talk a lot about these guys the whole night, and then you sit there and you actually do it, and it's like, holy crap.
I think I texted you guys, and not to pat our own backs or anything, but I thought what we pulled off was impressive. You don't realize how much time there is and how much the biggest thing is dead time, where literally nothing's happening in the draft. That you have to try to fill and keep interesting. I got home and was exhausted.
Oh.
I feel like I put in like 8 hours at a job somewhere. I was exhausted.
Well, you ran up and down the stairs about 27 times.
Yeah. My surgically repaired knee didn't enjoy that. So thanks guys for volunteering me for stair duty. But yeah, so that went better than I ever thought it would. You know, thanks to all you guys who were listening that night, obviously. And, you know, huge shout out to Kyle who helped us out that night. It went really well. Remember to check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Again, please subscribe on YouTube. And please head over to Apple, Spotify, Google. Subscribe on there and leave us a 5-star review if you don't mind. You know, tune in next week. We'll give you guys a little bit more in depth on each one of these guys. Get some other people's takes. Justin will be back, and we'll see you guys all next week.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.